arrived to the studio about an hour ago. I had some emails and things to catch up on, and just sat out there listening to the previous show. And as I got to the studio, my nerves started going. My nerves never go when I do this show. So maybe that's a good thing, right?
Every now and again.
Yeah, every now and again.
Keep you on your toes.
Exactly. Doesn't mean the show's going to be any better. If you'd like to join the show, if you'd like to join our conversation, again, our number is 977-1070. And since I last did the show, seemed like last time when we were on the show, we were talking about how, in fact, that was 3 weeks ago. We were at the Go Green Fest. And I was talking, Norm and I were talking about how the season was so delayed and the temperatures were so cold and we couldn't wait for things to warm up. And we had been receiving just tons and tons of rain and just talking about what a weird spring, early summer it had been. And here we are 3 weeks later, kind of in the exact opposite conditions.
Yeah. And that was kind of what I was afraid was going to happen. It was, you know, we were going to enjoy that, you know, that nice, cool, kind of rainy weather. And then all of a sudden it would just turn beastly hot.
Right.
And yeah, it kind of did.
But thankfully we're going to have a little bit of a reprieve starting, Sunday and Monday as we get back into the 80s, which is always a welcome sign for us gardeners. It gives us the, ability to get out and play in the dirt a little bit. These last couple of days, it's just been way too hot to do anything outside. Our poor employees who work outside all day, I just, you know, really feel for them. We try to change a lot of people's schedules so they could come in earlier and get off earlier before we got to the heat of the day. But, it's just been brutal.
It has been. It's been rough out there.
And along with that heat comes a series of problems that kind of get introduced into the garden, into the lawns, and just a lot of things that heat and the drought can start to stir up and kick off. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Let's go to line number one. First of all, good morning. You're on the Snow-Nose Garden Show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all your information.
No, you're welcome. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome. I'm losing my voice here, so I'm just having...
So am I. Something's going on with my voice as well.
I know. I think it's allergies.
Yeah.
So, my quick question is, I'm sure you've covered this before, what are the plants, you know, flowering plants that deer do not like?
That deer do not like?
Yes, is there any?
Yeah, there are some, and it's... Unfortunately, when you're dealing with deer, it's a matter of degrees. And, you know, it's kind of have to think about, you know, what deer do and don't like. Kind of, you have to kind of think about it the same thing or the same way with us and foods that we do or do not like.
Okay, I'm going to hang up so you can answer on the radio because I can listen to you. But I think at one point you said daffodils were one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Daffodils are one that the deer don't usually eat.
Okay. I was thinking more like annuals also. I guess it's annuals, petunias and that kind of thing. I don't know. Somebody told me they don't like bougainvilleas or...
Lantana are not real high on their favorite list. Ageratum seem to do fairly well. Okay. Marigolds, they don't mess with too much, but again, all of this, a lot of it is going to depend on how much feeding pressure there is in the area, how many deer there are, how hungry they are. Typically, this time of year, there's enough other things out there for them to eat. So, if you use some of the things that are on the list of plants that they don't like too much, a lot of times they will avoid them and just go on and eat something else because there is so much else for them to feed on.
You have a list on your website?
We do.
Oh, okay. That's where I'll go.
Okay.
And I thank you very much for all your information.
Oh, glad to help.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that question definitely has gotten a little bit more difficult over the years as deer have become a little bit less picky about what they will eat. Just yesterday morning, I was driving into work, and right there on Huntington Road, right off Rye Road, there was a deer eating Leyland cypress in the middle of the summer. When there's plenty of vegetation, other things to use, to eat, usually that used to be kind of a last resort, a winter item, that they would eat and munch on. But there he was in the middle of the summer, eating Leyland cypress and snapping off some big pieces. And I mean, it was really neat. I saw him like snapping and eating and chewing. And I was like, wow. But what's happened is they've gotten used to that food supply during the winter and other months when their normal food supply isn't available, that's become part of their diet. And that's what we've seen kind of transpire in a transition over the last couple of years.
Right. And they, deer are very much creatures of habit. They tend to follow the same migration patterns around in their search for food and will come back and hit the same areas over and over and over again. And once they get used to finding food in a particular place, they just keep coming back to it, which can work in your, work to your advantage as well as you work to deter them. You can get them used to feeding in another area, chase them over somewhere else. Then you, oftentimes you can get away with things because you've changed their feeding patterns a little bit.
Exactly. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning, caller. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hello. Yes, I have a question about a house plant.
Okay.
It's a Sassafilum, but it's not the usual piece, really. It's about 4 feet high and 4 feet around.
Okay.
I had transplanted it once a couple of years ago, and then last fall I had to do it again because the pot broke. And after I did it this last time, it is just constantly losing leaves, about 5 a week, and I don't know that it's going to keep, it won't last much longer if it keeps up with that. And I was wondering if I should try transplanting it again or if there's anything I can do about this.
Well, there's a couple things to that could be contributing to this, you know, a couple of things, red flags that fly up right away. One is when you transplanted it because the pot broke, how much larger a container did you use than what it was in, than the one that broke?
Maybe an inch or two. It wasn't much larger.
Okay. All right, that's good. You don't want to ever step up too much larger. You know, when you move from one container to another, if you move up too many sizes all at once, you can run into some issues. The other is you know, potentially with the soil that you were using. What kind of potting soil did you use?
I believe I used Miracle-Gro.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty good soil. It's not one that you typically, you know, run into issues with. Was the pot considerably deeper than the one that it was originally in?
Maybe about 3 inches deeper. The thing is, the pot that I put it into is a self watering pot, but I can't really tell where the water is in it.
Okay,
so
all right.
That was it.
That's probably the issue right there. It sounds like it's, you know, a piece of leaf that's gradually losing leaves like that is probably staying too wet.
Okay.
And probably what you need to do is get it into a pot that you have a little bit more control over the water and moisture levels in the soil, and allow it to dry down a little bit more, and that'll keep it healthier. The other thing to do when you pull it out to repot it is go through and remove any of the old roots that are, you know, brown and mushy and blackened that it may have gotten killed off by too much moisture down in the bottom of that container. So keep a real close eye on that as you're doing your repotting. Remove as many of those old, you know, any dead roots that you find down there. Go ahead and pull those off and loosen up the soil real well, and then work it into a container that doesn't have a whole lot of extra space in it. You want maybe a little bit, but not more than an inch or so.
Okay.
And then really allow it to start getting a little bit dry between waterings. Not quite to the point where it's wilting, but you'll see the foliage will kind of start to go a little bit duller in appearance. It won't be quite as lustrous and shiny as it normally is. And once it starts to get that little bit of a dullish cast to it, but before it starts to wilt, then go ahead and water it thoroughly and allow it to dry down again before you water it again. And that'll help to get that dried out down in the, you know, get that soil back into a cycle where the plant is drawing the moisture out of it sufficiently between waterings and help to arrest any root rot issue that's developed in there.
I have one more question with regard to that. Can that be cut off? And will it branch out or cut off and root the pieces that you cut off? Because they're getting very tall and the bottom leaves are going.
Yeah, typically that doesn't work too well with a peace lily. Typically, the best way to reproduce those is by division rather than by cuttings. But hopefully once you can get it back onto a good watering schedule or a good watering program where it doesn't have a lot of extra moisture down there in the soil, it'll leaf back out and it'll get much better looking for you. But it may take a little while. The good thing is, doing it this time of year, you're right in the middle of the growing season when it's going to be doing a lot of active growth. If this was January or February, it'd be a much trickier scenario. But where it's actively growing this time of year, hopefully you'll be able to get it turned around pretty quick.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. That was an excellent question. Have a great day.
Bye.
If you'd like to join the show, we have a few minutes before the bottom of the hour when we have to take a break. Our number here live in the WINA studios is 977-1070. And before we get too much further into the show, I do have a birthday that we need to announce. Today, celebrating a birthday, is Jackie Jennings. Happy birthday, Jackie. Are we giving her anything, Glenn?
Yes, you win a prize.
Okay, she's in the drawing for a prize. So if you'd like to add a birthday, just call into the station. But Jackie Jennings, congratulations. And the phone lights up. Maybe all those birthdays, June 11th.
That's right.
I just celebrated a birthday, man. I'm over the hump. I'm closer to 40 than I am to 30 now. So it's a beautiful day when you reach that point.
I've been at that point for a long time.
And then gone, right?
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines. I believe line number one is ready. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. A tiny question.
Yeah.
I have a zinnia plant sitting on my outdoor table, and I love it. And I noticed when I got up the other day, walked out, a bunch of earth had been taken out of the middle of the plant and was all over my table. So I cleaned it up, and it happened another day. I have no idea who is trying to get in my plant and what I can do about it.
Sounds like more than likely it's a squirrel or even a chipmunk.
Kind of squirrels around. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what are they looking for?
It's hard to say. They're smelling something down in there that they like or wanting to get in there and bury something. It's sometimes kind of hard to figure out exactly why they do the things that they do.
Is there any way I could prevent this? Do I put a screen or something over the earth or move it someplace else?
A little bit of screen over there, some gravel on top of the pot would help something that's going to be a little harder for them to dig through, or maybe even just a touch of some animal repellent.
Yeah,
may help.
The critter, there's a product called Critter Ritter,
mm-hmm.
and that might help out. It's a scent and taste based product that you could use that might discourage them from coming.
The environment, though, I'm trying to.
No,
the Critter Ritter is a natural, safe, organic product.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Oh, you're very
you.
Welcome.
Have a good one.
Have a great day.
Right, thanks.
Yeah, in fact, a lot of the repellents on the market nowadays are very safe, organic. To the point where if you could tolerate the smell and the taste, you could consume it yourself.
I wouldn't recommend it.
You know, it's nothing you want to sprinkle on top of your ice cream, for crying out loud. But, it's definitely safe by all means to use. A lot of it, spices and different herbs, but very strong scented. And you will definitely know when you spray it or apply the product. And you'll know when it kind of wears off, and you'll know when you need to reapply based on the scent kind of subsiding.
Right. And it's not a horrible smell.
Yeah.
It's not like you smell something.
I kind of like it after a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it smells like skunk or something like that. But my mom had actually the exact same problem with it. She had a big, that's about a 15-gallon nursery pot that she had out back that she had planted some begonias in. And it started with just a couple of plants had gotten thrown out, and I went out there and repotted them for her. And when I was up there a couple of years ago, last summer. And a lot happened since then, so it seems like a lot longer ago than that. But anyway, The next morning went out there, and there were a few more that were thrown out
right.
of the pot. So I went and repotted them again. And, you know, thought I had it kind of under control, but after I had come on back home, I was talking to her on the phone a couple weeks later, and she said, yeah, the squirrels had gotten in there and ripped out literally every one of those plants, throwing them out on the ground. And she had one, I think, that survived. All the rest of them were gone. So it's amazing. You don't know what in the world they're thinking, getting up in there, digging around in that stuff, but they can do a lot of damage.
They can do a lot of damage, and they will do a lot of damage, but they're so cute when they do it.
Sit out there and watch them play.
I don't know if this call is holding or if it's just sitting there. Did he go to check that one out?
Yeah, I think he's working on that one.
Okay, it's live on line number one. All right, good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back.
I have a quick question. I have some dwarf crepe myrtles. And I'm trying to keep them as dwarfs.
Sure.
Can I cut them back now some?
Trimming them back now is probably going to have a pretty significant impact on how much flowering you get out of them. They're in that mode now of getting ready to produce their flower buds.
Yeah, probably. And I mean, they're going to be blooming here in the next week or two.
Right. It all depends on what variety it is. You know, some of them are noticed around town
already
in flower.
Yeah.
Others that bloom a little bit. Because, you know, they do have some kind of staggered blooming cycles. But any of them, if you go and do a lot of top pruning on them right now, you're going to be impacting the amount of flowers that they're going to produce.
The best time to prune those would have been early spring, right before they put out all that new growth for this growing season. You could go through and top them or try to keep them at the height that you would desire, first part of March or April. But yeah, once we get into June, it's a little bit too late. The buds are set. They're getting ready to flower. So hold off if you can till next spring. I believe that's all the phone calls. Or what? No, it's not flashing, right? Yeah.
Nope.
Just double check. The lines have been cleared. All three phone lines are wide open. If you'd like to join the show, give us a call at 977-1070. Just a reminder that you can listen 24 hours a day at WINA.com. Just listen to the Listen Live button. And our show is archived at WINA.com. You can also access it through SnowNose.com and SeavillePodcast.com. Three easy ways to listen to the show. If you don't get your weekly fill, or you just miss our voice, you can access us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and get all your gardening news and information live online. So we've got just a couple minutes before break, and I will talk to break till you tell me to stop, Glenn. But we were talking about some of the problems this heat and drier conditions can bring in the garden, and just wanted to review a couple tips. Just some easy gardening tips, especially when it comes to lawn care, that you can follow that will make you more successful. And the number one thing that you may or may not think about is really a simple solution to your lawn browning out, and that's raising the blades on your mower. Instead of mowing at a low height, which literally takes all the moisture and water out of the tissue of the grass, by simply raising the blades, mowing your grass just a little bit taller, you'll be amazed at how much better off and how much healthier your lawn will be during these drier, warmer months.
That's right. The absolute worst thing you can do right now is cut your grass short. If you cut your grass it's never a good idea for tall fescue to cut it, you know, inch and a half, 2 inches, 2.5 inches anyhow. But if you're cutting it that short right now, you go out there and mow it this morning, and by this evening, it's going to be browning out significantly.
Right.
Just because you've removed all of the leaf surface off of the grass. It's literally burned it off by cutting it that short. But by raising the deck up to about 4 inches or even 4.5, you'd be amazed at how much more drought tolerant and how much more heat tolerant your lawn is.
And you can get away with it, you know, during late March, April, May, when the temperatures are cooler. It's still not the best practice, but you can get away with it because there's so much moisture and you know, the grass is growing so doggone fast that, you know, I know a lot of people lower the blades just so they can stay on top of it because weekly mowing isn't, you know, sometimes it doesn't seem like it's enough. It's growing so fast. But you've got to be mindful of the weather conditions as we transition, as things change, and make sure you raise the blades as we get further into the summer season.
And this is something that we see on a fairly regular basis. Yeah. Somebody goes out and you know, they drop the blades down low this time of year, and you know, and the lawn burns out almost immediately.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, why did you do that?
And trust me, even by raising the blades, if we continue to stay dry and warm, the grass is naturally going to go into a dormancy, which is going to lead to some browning. But at least it's healthy, and it's the grass transitioning and shutting down and going dormant. It's not because it's being damaged.
Right. A natural physiological process is fine, but doing it doing it because of damage.
And it'll rebound
different, much
quicker when things do get cool again in the fall and we get some moisture.
And you'll have a much, much greater chance of all of it rebounding instead
right, of
just portions of it rebounding.
We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Stono's Garden Show. We've got a birthday to add. I was flirting with you. Jane Spicer is also celebrating a birthday, so happy birthday to Jane Spicer and Jackie Jennings. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Stono's Garden Show on AM 1070 WINA. Yeah, and good morning and welcome back to the Snow-Nose Garden Show, the most listened to weekend talk radio show in Central Virginia. The highly anticipated duo is back after a 3-week hiatus. It is the Minister of Mulch and the Doctor or Professor of Plants, the Doctor of Dirt, Norm Carlson.
Good morning.
And the crowd goes wild. It is always good to be back. I'm so glad to be back finally after being gone for the last 3 weeks. Have a renewed passion and energy for gardening and for this radio show and for life. All right, maybe that's a little
over. It's been three radio shows,
but it hasn't been
3 weeks.
I know. It's been a week of vacation. But
yeah.
It's amazing, though, when you away from the radio show, it feels like 3 weeks. If you'd like to join the show, we would love for one of our brilliant, extraordinary listeners to call in and challenge us with one of your gardening questions this morning. Our number live here in the WINA studios is 977-1070, and we've cleared all three phone lines. We've junked them all, and not really. We didn't have anyone there. But they're all three wide open, and we'd love for you to call us again, 977-1070. Have a big announcement to make. The SPCA Critter Ball 2011 Dancing with the Stars will feature none other than, drumroll please, Corbin Snow will be dancing in the Critter Ball. Along with that comes me raising votes. And the way it works in the Critter Ball, I will be dancing paired with a professional dancer, and we'll be dancing in the Critter Ball October 29th. To raise charity for the SPCA. You can go to the SPCA.com website, Charlottesville, Almore, SPCA.com website, and get more information. But my goal and what I've been challenged to do is raise money as a dancer. Last year, there were 7 dancers, and they raised $70,000 for the SPCA. I have a personal goal, and maybe this is a little bit, you know, out there, but I have a personal goal to raise $30,000 for the SPCA by dancing. And so if you would like to get on the Corbin Snow team, you can do so by sending in donations to the SPCA, but make sure you write on your check or somewhere that you're donating for and on behalf of Corbin Snow for the SPCA 2011 Critter Ball. Or you can bring the payments to the Garden Center, and I'll make sure they get applied to my account. But the way it works, for every dollar I receive, counts as one vote. So whoever has the most votes, so I don't have to be the best answer. Thank goodness for that. I don't have to be the best answer that night. I just have to raise the most money. And I can, we can bring home the mirror ball trophy for all the Snow Nose listeners out there. It would be your trophy. It'd be the people's trophy. That's the way I'm. if you'd like to get behind me, please contact me directly. You can email me at CorbinSnow@snownose.com. I'm looking for corporate sponsorships. If you're a corporation, a business, if you'd like to sponsor me, $1,000 sponsor levels. And I'm trying to think, the theme is a 50s theme. And I'm thinking about maybe going as Elvis and doing like an Elvis dance and, you know, to an Elvis song and maybe like an Elvis cape. And on the cape, I can have all the different logos of my corporate sponsors. Just throwing it out there. But anyway, that's coming up October 29th. If you'd like more information, please email me directly. Again, CorbinSnow@SnowNose.com. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Wonderful. How are you?
Doing okay. Got a question for you. This morning I got up and was walking around checking my plants, and the mulch around my trees and azaleas and stuff looks like it's snowed on them. It's a white, fuzzy stuff all over everything. It's on the mulch.
Okay, just on the mulch around the base of the trunks?
Yeah, around the base of the trunks and around the bases of the azaleas. And
I wonder if, is there any tunneling or anything happening around the mulch? Is there any sign of tunneling? Because what that could be, possibly be, is vole damage. Is it wood shavings?
No, it just looks it looks like white powder.
Okay, white powder. I was going to say, if it's wood shavings, it could be like a vole, some vole damage. White powder.
Almost like some kind of mold or something.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, with this heat, we're seeing a lot of the different funguses that kind of germinate and come to life in the mulch. Yeah. You know, some different fungi. I hate saying this name on the air, but the starts of like the dog vomit fungus, which starts off as like little white spores, and then as it matures, it kind of turns yellow and grows into a bigger little blob and then hardens off. Sounds like maybe the start of that. Can you think of anything else, Norm?
Yeah, nothing's.
Maybe the plants have dandruff. Maybe, you know, some good treatment of some Head and Shoulders and rinse.
Yeah, I didn't know if I should put down lime or something like that. Or
no, I would just keep an eye on it. You know, is it like just flaky, or is it just kind of on to the mulch?
It's on the mulch, kind of. It's almost like it's really like a white powder, and it wasn't there last night, and today
it
is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like maybe just one of the decomposing fungus organisms. Up in the mulch and then maybe putting out some fruiting bodies or something.
Again, with the combination of heat and then, like, you know, we've had two thunderstorms the last two nights, you know, just that little bit of moisture will kind of set some of that, decaying matter off. And I mean, the mulch is, I've got stuff all in my mulch from, you know, different funguses and little mushrooms popping up. And a few weeks ago, I had tons of mushrooms in my lawn. So I think it's just a result of what's happening in the atmosphere and, you know, between the heat and a little bit of moisture, just some things, you know, going on down there.
I just want to make sure I didn't need to panic.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I don't think it's anything to, you know, to be overly concerned about or anything. Just, you know, something like Corbin said, keep an eye on it and you know, just kind of watch it over the next couple of days. But I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to hurt the plants or anything.
I appreciate it. I might have to come by the store and make a donation because I can't wait to see Corbin dance.
Oh, man. It's going to be a scary sight.
I think we're going to ask you to dance at the toy lift this year.
Oh, I'd do that. Anything for the toy lift, man.
Yeah, all right, bud.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Have a great weekend.
You too, now. Bye-bye. Yeah, so when I was asked to do the dancing thing, my first response, I told the committee no. I was like, nope, I'm not going to do it. And then this was going on during the winter months, and they came back and said, are you sure you don't want to do it? I was like, nah, I'm really sure I don't want to do it. And then I was having a conversation with my dad, and he's like, well, he's like, you know, you were the one who told me to get into politics and to to run for the board of supervisors. He's like, the least you can do is you know, do this dancing thing. It's a little bit outside your comfort zone, but it's gonna, you know, cause you to grow, and it's motivated me to start working out because I'm not gonna get out there looking, you know, I want to look respectful out there. I want to be able to glide and move across the floor and shake my hips and move my bong bong. And so I'm taking Zumba classes two or three times a week and at night, and I've been lifting weights and trying to get in shape. And it's amazing the muscles you use when you dance and your legs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I am extremely sore after my Zumba class. I've only taken like six or seven classes. But I took one Wednesday night, and my calves and thighs are still sore. So dancing is definitely good for the body.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And all donations are welcome and accepted. I would really, really appreciate that. And like I say, we want to make sure we bring home the Mirror Ball Trophy to the Snow Nose team, okay? What else is going on outside in the garden?
excuse me, between the time of the year and the kind of weather conditions that we've had and everything, I mean, there's a ton of stuff happening out there. One thing that we've had several people, you know, kind of concerned about and everything here lately is, you know, with some of the weeds in the lawn and, you know, can we spray them? You know, can we spray them now? What can we do? We need to get rid of these weeds and deal with this stuff and all of that. One of the things to really keep in mind with these high temperatures and dry conditions is a lot of, you know, otherwise safe products, you know, to spray on your lawn for broadleaf weed control and things like that can cause some injury with these high temperatures.
Oh yeah.
So it's important if you've got some spraying that you need to do on your lawns, wait till things cool off. If you get out there when it's, you know, when it's 95 degrees and it's been dry and spray with your broadleaf weed control, it can mm-hmm. damage the grass as well. It'll usually grow right back out of it, but it can yellow it up and make it look a little sick for a week or two until it has a chance to recover if you do it when the temperatures are real hot like this. So give it a chance to cool down a little bit and you'll have much better results.
Absolutely.
The lawn will be much healthier for doing it. And the same goes with spraying some of the insect problems that can mm-hmm. show up on your trees and shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
If you spray when it's real, real hot, you can cause some problems for the plants.
Yeah.
By doing that. So it's a good idea to hold off and do those kinds of things when it's a little bit cooler. Even, you know, with if you just like spraying your azaleas for lace bugs, do it early in the morning.
Right.
And you should be fine. Fungal problems usually are not that much of an issue. But if you can wait and hold off and do your spraying when it's cooler, either early morning or, you know, like we're going to see first part of the week after a cold front has moved through and the temperatures have dropped back down into the 80s.
Great recommendation. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I have Leland cypress in the rear of my yard that are about 20 years old, and I've been trimming them since they're planted, and they're now about 10 feet tall. They're perfectly conically shaped.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting tired of doing that three times a year.
Yeah, sure.
If I leave them go wild, will they continue to grow tall at their age, or will they stay pretty much the height they're at right now?
How tall are they right now?
They're about 10 feet tall.
They're going to...
About 20 years old.
Okay, then you've been doing a lot of pruning and maintenance, and yes. They're going to take off. I mean...
Yep. If you let them go wild right now, they'll be 60 feet.
Yeah, they'll be 60 feet in a couple years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a lake behind my house. I don't want to lose the view.
Yeah.
In that case, is there a market for trees like that?
As far as resale, not really, just because Leyland cypress are fairly inexpensive trees, and they grow so fast, and there's lots of growers out there, you know, even in the state of Virginia, in our immediate area, there's lots of growers. So because of that, you know, you can pick up an inexpensive 1 to 3 gallon shrub for 25, 30 bucks, and in 5 years, you've got a 10-foot tree.
All right, thank you, John.
Let it go wild if you can. If not, you know, if you don't want to have to keep doing the maintenance, you might consider removing those and putting something in that's going to max out at that 8 to 10-foot height. at that 8 to 10 foot height, like an arborvitae or some of your other smaller growing evergreens.
Right. Or even, you know, some of the Nellie Stevens holly.
Yeah.
It may get a little bit taller than that, but it's going to be much more manageable.
Yeah.
Isn't going to want to grow quite so rapidly as a Leland. And to be honest, you know, if you got in there and trimmed those back, you know, even just once or twice a season rather than three times.
Yeah.
They may not, you know, they may not be as neat and tidy all the time. But, you know, you'll reduce the amount of maintenance that you're having to do on them, and you'll still be able to maintain them at a reasonable height.
All right, we're going back to the phone lines. We got the go-ahead from Chief Engineer Grandpa here. Let's go to line number three. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show. Hi, good morning.
You there?
Hello?
Hi, good morning. How are you this morning?
Hi there. I didn't know if I was still listening to the radio or you talking to me. I'm doing great. I hope you guys are too. And my question is about a crepe myrtle. I planted a row of them on the south side of my house several years ago to shade that side of the house. And this year, all of a sudden, one of them is not leafing out like the others are. And it is planted next to the outside unit of my heat pump, and I'm wondering if that has affected it this year.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, crepe myrtles are very, very heat tolerant plants. I mean, they like it hot, and you know the air movement off of the fan and everything from the unit shouldn't impact them, you know, adversely in any way.
Okay.
Yeah, how tall are the crepe myrtles?
Oh, they're probably at least 15, perhaps 20 feet tall now.
Yes.
I tried to train them more upright
because
I wanted the height.
Yeah, I was just going to think, you know, if it was lower growing, it might have some, you know, some of the foliage could have been burned, you know, a little bit if it was right on the heat, you know, exhaust. But, you know, being up 15, 20 feet, you know, if it's blowing on the trunk, you know, it shouldn't. Like Norman said, it shouldn't cause any damage. I've seen, you know, the exhaust from heat systems at some of the commercial properties that we maintain on azaleas and things like that kill off some of the more tender, you know, cool season, shade-loving shrubs. But, you know, crepe myrtle should be fine. Is it dying out in sections, or is it just some of the foliage?
It's just that it just doesn't look as robust and healthy as the other ones in the row.
Yeah.
And it's leafing out, but it leafs out later, and it's just more sparsely leafed out. Now, there's a lot of new growth coming up from the bottom.
Right.
And so all that's still healthy, the root system and everything.
Well, if you're
I don't know if it just got desiccated over the winter or...
Possibly. You know, we did have a really extreme December where things were really cold, and, you know, that one could have been affected, you know, a little bit more than the others. I would remove, if you're growing them as crepe myrtle trees, I would remove any of that sucker growth, any of that new growth down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That'll at least help it, you know, take, you know, from putting its nutrients and energy and resources into those new little suckers coming out. It'll put all the resources into revitalizing it and getting the leaves and blooms healthy. And then also I would follow it up with maybe a fertilizer treatment.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, hey,
thank you
for calling.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Let's take a commercial break.
Okay, we've got to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. A little 1950s music there to get everyone in the critter ball mood. If you'd like to join the show, we have just about 5 minutes. We had a caller. If you'd like to call back, we can put you right back on the air. Again, that number is 977-1070. I do want to let all the listeners know that the produce stand out at Snow's Garden Center is open. Mm-hmm. And we've got some beautiful, fresh, and local vegetables. We've got some beautiful tomatoes and corn and squash and zucchini and
cucumbers,
Vidalia onions and cucumbers.
Peppers.
And some of it is local. And our pricing is either – most of it's below what you see at groceries, and the quality is a lot better. So
Yes. You
can save yourself some money and get some better quality. Come out to the Garden Center. The produce market is open. And we are open today from we opened at 8 and we close at 5 o'clock today. We're located out on Avon Street, which is just south of downtown Charlottesville, about 4 miles as you go over the Belmont Bridge, right behind the Intellos Pavilion. You just keep going on Avon Street for about 4 miles. Just when you think you're getting out in the country and you're not going to find us, we're on your left.
That's right.
And we have a beautiful, beautiful nursery. We back up right to Carter's Mountain. Some beautiful, beautiful scenic views, and we've got a wonderful selection, variety of annuals and perennials and shrubs and flowering trees, furniture and containers and pots and all your gardening supplies and needs at one convenient location. So come by and see us today out at Snow's Garden Center. And I believe we still have a few sales running. I know all of our cypress furniture is 25% off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what else our garden center manager has on sale today, but come out and earn your snow dough. We're quickly approaching the snow dough days in just about 2 or 3 weeks. It'll be time to start redeeming your snow bucks, your snow dough that you've been saving. And remember, it never expires. So if you have snow dough sitting around that you haven't used for 5 or 6, 10 years, bring it in. The snow dough festival is coming up the end of this month. Let's go back to line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful.
Sounding good.
Listen, thank you.
I have a huge, huge rubber plant. And it stays in the Florida room during the winter. We've just taken it out, and it's going crazy. It's so tall and full. Can I separate that and make individual plants?
Is it multiple plants in one pot?
Well, it started out as just a little one.
Okay.
But it's really branched out. There's probably like 15 of them in there now.
Oh, 15 little plants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely. You could definitely try to transplant some of those. I would use a good root hormone when rooting it, but I would keep your main plant, obviously in the container, and just it'd be a nice little trial, little studies, to see how many you can get to take off, and you should be successful with it.
Okay, I will try that. I broke a leaf off 6 months ago, and it has rooted. I just stuck it in some water. What can I do with that?
Yeah, just stick that over into some real good, well-drained potting soil, and it should. Does it have a sprout coming up from it yet, or just the roots?
Just the roots.
Okay.
I took a leaf and stuck it in water.
Yeah.
And the bottom of the leaf is it's ready to go. I need to do something with it.
Yeah, stick it over into some potting soil that, is going to be real well-drained. And then keep it in a good, bright area. Keep the soil moist but not wet. And hopefully to throw up a new shoot for it, and you'll be able to get a new plant coming from it.
Fantastic. I thank you kindly.
Thank you for listening. You have a great day as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's really fun, all the experimenting and different things you can do as a gardener, from cuttings to propagating, all the different things you can do. You don't have to be an expert. That's a great thing about gardening. I mean, you can do these little tests and studies and projects in your home, and if you're not successful, you throw it in the trash and try again next week.
That's right.
If you'd like to join the show, we have only about 2 minutes left, but we could squeeze in one more call, I do believe. And there she is, or he is. Her number's 977-1070. I'm just going to answer it on the fly. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
I got a quick question for you. I had a bunch of hostas last year that were just absolutely. Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine.
They were just absolutely beautiful, and of course the deer went through with their weed eater and whacked them down to nothing. That they've come back. They seem to be lagging. Is there any? I put this Miracle-Gro fertilizer on. Is there something better to maybe give them a bigger jump to try to get them to get a little better size to them?
Yeah,
I'll just let you go and listen to you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Great,
you guys got a great show.
Great question. Thanks for calling.
A couple of things you can do. One is make sure they get plenty of moisture. Hostas love water. And the other is use a granular, more continuous release fertilizer. Something like Osmocote would work really well.
Yeah.
Or the Master Nursery multi-purpose fertilizer would work really, really well. They've got a much more sustained feed and going to give you a much more long-term feed than the Miracle-Gro. If you want to continue to use the Miracle-Gro, you're going to need to do it every 2 weeks in order to keep it going.
And if you're looking for a good laugh this morning, go to snownose.com, and on our homepage, I have a YouTube video of me. It's my promo video for the Dancing with the Stars for the SPCA Critter Ball. It's right on our homepage. It'll link you to YouTube video. But I promise you a good laugh if you go watch my promo video. We're out of time. That's all for this week. Thank you so much for listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show. On behalf of Norm Carlson and Corbin Snow, thank you for listening. We'll see you right here next week.